were permitted to come to a funeral like this, and we know that many more would have been here if circumstances were different. I've had a very long friendship with the Buick family. First of all, with Fred, going back many years ago as a colleague in the ministry, and then coming here as the pastor of the church for over 20 years with many other members of the family. And I have found this family to be a gracious, godly family who love the Lord and in whom the Spirit of God dwells. There was a Christ-likeness in their demeanor. Willie and I became good friends, and so I can say today I've lost a very good friend. And we've just been saying that to the family as well, and to so many others that were close friends. You've lost someone very dear. I want to extend, on behalf of the Hebron Church, our deepest sympathy to Ivor and Sylvia and their family, Jessica, Lucy Jane, Seth, Ezra, and Ada. I should say Ada Joan, for Willie was so pleased that Joan's name was in the name. Also to Alan and Claire, and we know that Alan has lost a very good friend, lifelong companion in work. He'll be greatly missed, we know that. To Gordon and Janice, who have been a great strength in these days that you've been over with the family. And to your children, Bethany and Holly. To his dear sisters, Hannah and Martha. We trust that you'll know the presence of the Lord in a very special way today. And of course, his brother Fred, who for obvious reasons cannot be with us today, but his thoughts are with what's happening today. We think of the late Margaret, Ellie and Jim, who have gone on before and reunited now in glory. And of course, Marion, who has been a tremendous encouragement and help to the family for years now, his friends, folks like Tommy, visiting every week, and we're not able to visit, always on the phone. Just before we come to the opening hymn and the order of service, I have a message here to read from our brother Fred, and it is as follows. It was with a mixture of emotions that I learned about my dear brother William's passing. I shed tears as I remembered the good times we had growing up on the farm at Turner Grove. My tears were shed on behalf of the family left behind. Willie was a loving husband to Joan and father to their children, Ivor, Alan and Janice. Thank God between them they pointed their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have left behind them a legacy which will stand for all eternity. My next emotion was very positive indeed. Well, he has been without his beloved Joan for the past 10 years now. Thank God that separation is over now forever. Willie and Joan are together again in that land that is fairer than day. My prayers and thoughts are with the family today. May the Lord bless you all and give you strength for this day and the days that lie ahead. With Christ, which is far better. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. Now let's turn to the order of service. I'm going to sing together Joseph Scriven's hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a Privilege to Carry Everything to God in Prayer. Very glad to have a very close friend of Willie here today, the Reverend John Holmes. And he's going to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Maybe a few words that he wants to say as well. And straight after that, Pastor Gordon Thompson, Willie's son-in-law, is going to come and bring a tribute. Thank you.
First of all, may I take the opportunity this afternoon on behalf of my wife Sally and myself to express our sincere sympathy to the whole of the Buick family and the wider family circle on Willie's recent home call. I want also to thank the family for the invitation to share in the service here today and to say a special thank you to the Reverend Park for allowing me the honour and the privilege of doing so. I have lost a dear friend and brother in the Lord, and I am more than appreciative of the opportunity to be with you here this afternoon. When I was about 9 or 10 years of age, I became aware of this young man who travelled past our home on the outskirts of Stornocombe. My mother told me he was called Willie Buick and he came from Kilrats. And he was going to Derrykeighan to see a young lady called Joan Ferguson. I'm not sure how my mother knew all of that, but maybe she was like me, she knew how to ask plenty of questions. But Joan was working at that time in a shop in Ballymoney, and my mother had been in and out there, and possibly that's how she learned about it. She also had earlier worked in Portrush with Joan's sister Marion, who has been mentioned already here today. However, I knew little more about either Willie or Joan, except that a couple of years after I first noticed him travelling past home, I went off to the Technical College in Ballymoney, and on the bus in which I travelled here, I found out Joan was travelling to work on that bus as well, and her and a friend that I also did know sat together each day. But it wasn't until 1973 when I went to work for James Kirkpatrick at Ballynagashel and discovered that Willie Buick was already working there, that our friendship properly began. And that friendship grew deeper with the passing years. Following his conversion to Christ, Willie sought to show by his life what a Christian ought to be. I found him to be a man of kindness and integrity. He loved his wife and family, his grandchildren, and more recently, his great-grandchildren. Joan's home call, and we've been reminded of that already almost 10 years ago, was a very heavy blow to Willie. And indeed, to say that is in reality an understatement. However, the family rallied round to help, and the fact that he was still able to help Alan with his work was a great encouragement to Willie, and it gave him a focus for each working day. Indeed, he was helping Alan in the workshop right up until his illness overtook him just over a week ago. As we have been already reminded, we are here today to worship God and to give thanks for the life of Willie Buick. Let's now begin that worship as we unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Great, gracious, and eternal God, as we bow before you today, we are reminded that you are the one who is sovereign in all the affairs of men. You are the God who has created us, and also the one who in his gracious providence sustains us day by day. We rejoice above all that you are the great Redeemer who loved us sinners so much that you gave your only begotten Son into this world to live a perfect and a sinless life so that he could go to Calvary's cross and there pay the price that your holiness and perfect justice demanded for our sin. We thank you that he rose again from the grave, having conquered all his foes. And through all that he accomplished there, we can, by faith in him, know the joy of sins forgiven and have the assurance in our hearts as we journey here below that heaven is our eternal home. You are the one, O God, who has set the bounds of our habitation here below, and therefore here today, we can say with one of old, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you today for Willie's faith in Christ, and therefore we believe that he is now with the Savior whom he loved and whom he sought to serve. However, you know, O God, that our earthly partings are never easy. And we ask today that we will know much of your love, your presence, and your comfort here today. We pray that especially for the family and the family circle. And particularly today, Lord, we do remember Fred, separated from us by the miles, but undoubtedly here with us in spirit. We pray, O God, that you will help us in all that we do. May your gracious Holy Spirit guide and empower all that takes place in the remainder of the service. May he especially bless the preaching of your word and direct all our worship to the glory of Christ, in whose precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Before I speak about Willie, the family would like me to say thank you to Diane for playing today and for the lovely flowers as well. And also the family have asked me to say a big thank you to the Reverend Park for his love and for his kindness that he's shown to Willie, not only when he was ill, but when he was well as well, the time that he dedicated to helping Willie and also the family. And they want to say a big thank you to the Reverend Park for his care and pastoral love for the family. We're here today to give thanks for the life of Willie Buick. We're here today because he meant so much to each one of us, whether we're family or friends, and I know there'll be a lot of friends and family listening in as well. But where do we start when we speak about Willie? I know his name is William, but his name to everybody was Willie. And he was a very strong family man. Willie Buick loved his family. You never needed to try and work out whether he loved his family or not. He was so clear in showing them that he loved them. Ivor, Alan and Janice and the family circle, he just lived for his family. And his family meant everything to him. But you know, there's many people who, when you talk about their family, they will say, oh, my son's doing this, my daughter's doing that, they've got this, they've got that. Do you know what made Joan happy? Do you know what made Willie happy? They were happy that Ivor, Alan and Janice knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where their riches were. And not only that, but their offspring as well have given their life to the Lord. And that's where their joy was, knowing that the family were safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember Willie saying to me one day that he was the richest man in the world because his family were saved. And that's how much he loved his family. He wanted to see them walking and talking with the Lord. But Willie was not only a family man, he was also a very friendly man. If you know Willie, that we all do know him, he loved a laugh. He loved a smile. He didn't mind even laughing at himself because he was a very humble man. And actually, Big Tam, as he's known as, he says, there's nobody in Northern Ireland who could say a bad word about wee Willie Buick. There's nobody in Northern Ireland that could say a bad word about wee Willie Buick. And it's been wonderful to see what Ivor and Alan and Janice, the text and the messages that they've been getting from people just talking about Willie, because he was a friendly person. Willie took time to speak to people. He would take time to spend time with people. And Willie loved everybody he was dealing with. He never graded people like class 1, class 2, class 3. He just loved people. And he loved to have a laugh and a joke with people as well. Even when you think about the people that Willie worked for, Willie spoke a lot about that. I think they're called the Laverty brothers. Willie had a great relationship with him for years, and he's worked with them for years, and he thought so highly of them. And to me, it wasn't a case of Willie was doing work for them. It was like they were friends, and Willie was helping them out. It's the same with Lenny and Barry. It wasn't they weren't Willie's mechanics. They were friends that fixed Willie's car. And that's the type of person Willie was. He was so friendly and caring and kind that he had a lot of people in his family circle, and he made people feel special because he never graded people. Everybody in Willie's eyes was special. He was a very family-orientated man. He was a very friendly man. But more important than all this, he was a man who had a strong faith. Now, if you to ask Willie about Calvinism or Arminianism or the second coming of Christ, he wasn't interested. You know what Willie was interested in? His saying was, it's your daily walk with God that counts. It's your daily walk with God that counts. And I remember many times joking with Willie, talking about his funeral, and saying, Willie, if I get the privilege of talking about you, I'm going to tell the people that you were a Book of James Christian. Willie wasn't all talk and no action. Willie lived what he believed in. In fact, a friend, Mervyn, texts us and says, William was a pure example of the Christian's walk with God. William was a pure example of a Christian's walk with God. You see, Willie was a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could see that. It was evident in the way that he behaved. He wasn't all talk and no action. He wasn't all theology and no roots. He was a man who loved Jesus and a man who cared for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where did the difference come in his life? And I would just like to say the difference came in Willie's life is because there was a time when he realized that he was a sinner. There was a time when he realized he was separated from God. There was a time when he heard that Jesus was the answer and that he could come and give his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and become a friend of God. And in Willie's life, he came and he surrendered his life to God. He didn't surrender his life to the Free Church. He didn't surrender his life to the Reverend Park. He surrendered his life to Jesus. And that's what makes a difference today. And that's why even through the tears, the family rejoice. Even through the brokenness, the family rejoice. Because they know that Willie is rejoicing where there's no more tears and no more sorrow and no more pain. And for 10 years, Willie's been looking forward to this. Since Joan went before him, he was looking forward to this. And Willie was a man of faith. His faith and trust was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was evident. It was clear that people could see he loved Jesus. And it wasn't just words. It was in his lifestyle. And that's why Ivor, and that's why Alan, and that's why Janice can rejoice today, because they say, until we meet again. And that's why Martha, and that's why Hannah says, until we meet again. And that's why his brother Fred in Australia can say, until we meet again. Because they know that they're forgiven and they've got a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be fair to Willie today, it says on his coffin, William Buick died, and it gave the date. It should say William Buick alive. Because Willie is where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more pain. But you know what the question goes out to the people who are listening in today? We rejoice knowing that Willie is home with the Lord. We rejoice knowing that Willie is with Joan. But one day, my name is going to be written in a coffin. And one day, your name is going to be written in a coffin. We rejoice because he's in heaven. And we ask, if you to die today, where would you spend eternity? Jesus says, come unto me. And praise God, Willie came, his sins were forgiven, he had peace with God, and now we rejoice as a family. Because he's home. He's home because his faith and trust wasn't in a denomination. Wasn't in keeping a standard. His faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary. And we say, praise God, it is well with his soul. Amen.
And I thank my brethren for taking part, John, Gordon, much appreciated. Can I welcome you to the house of God today? It's a sad day, but we're glad to have you here. And just for your encouragement, there are hundreds of people listening in to this service, even though there's just a few gathered because of the circumstances of coronavirus. And we know that Fred's heart's with you, and we know that recently Fred did suggest to Willie that maybe the two of them could go to heaven together. And little did we know that Willie would go before our brother Fred. I want to read the Word of God for our comfort and consolation. But I want to preface my remarks, and you'll understand why. Willie took a stroke in the early hours of Tuesday morning a week ago and was admitted to hospital. And visitation in these days is very restricted, as you know. In fact, at that time, the family were told 1 hour per week. Very glad that as time went on, more visiting was permitted because of the serious condition of the Lord's servant. And I was very glad to be permitted as a pastor to get in, because pastoral visiting in hospitals has not existed, really. Not very much for about a year. On Thursday, I went up to see Willie. He was in a very deep sleep. I tried to awaken him. He did sort of come round a little bit. He knew he was there. And I read a text from Janice, quoted some of the great Bible promises that would be an encouragement to him. And then I prayed. When I went back the next day, on the Friday, he was more alert. And I was able to read the text again, Janice, just in case he had missed it the day before, and some verses from Romans 8, and again prayed with him. On Sunday afternoon, he was pretty much in a deep sleep. And on that occasion, I read Psalm 23, and I know that other family members had been reading the Psalm 23 with him during his stay in hospital, Ivor, Alan, and Gordon. Sunday night, I had the privilege of going down just to sit with Ivor for a little while. And it was probably more in the early hours of Monday morning, we read some verses from Revelation 21 and 22, just to remind Willie, as he could possibly hear, that heaven is the place to which the child of God is going. On Monday later on, in the evening time, I had the privilege of visiting again, and Ivor and Jessica were there. His breathing became quite shallow, and Jessica went out to ring the family, and Ivor lifted his dad's Bible and read the Psalm 23 again, and then two verses from Psalm 46, the first verse, and then verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And just as he was reading those words, Willie breathed his last, and he went quietly to be with the Lord into the presence of God. And I leaned forward to Ivor and I just reminded him, as I have reminded other family members, it was not goodbye. It was just good night, because you'll meet him in the morning. And then we had prayer. Just before I read some of these verses that were read with Willie in recent days, the family would like me to thank the hospital staff, the doctors and the nurses from A&E, where he came into it first, until the time of a rehab where he passed away, and for the excellent care, the medical care that he received from all the staff. And I'm going to share some of these verses with you, reading the very familiar Psalm 23, first of all. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then I want to read those couple of verses from the Psalm 46. And incidentally, I read this psalm with Jim Buick on the 8th of December 1996, 3 days after coming to Ballymoney. I was installed 3 days previously as the minister here. He was critically ill in hospital, and his family were sitting with him. And I read this psalm with Jim on that occasion. But I'm just reading the first verse and verse 10, those two verses that Ivor read with his father as he passed away. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And then I want to read those verses that I read with Willie from Revelation 21 and 22. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And then Revelation 22. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to every heart. And I just want to pass on, before I look at the scriptures, some comments from the pastor. Willie Buick had a bright testimony, and I know the family will not mind if there's a small overlap in some of the things that I say, because these are the things that really we remember as far as God's servant is concerned. He had a bright testimony. He was soundly saved many years ago, came to Christ. But your testimony is much more than your conversion story, as you know. It's what you are every day before your family and before your friends and before your neighbors. And he had a good testimony. The hymn writer said, "We cannot be channels of blessing if we consciously trifle with sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win." Well, that can't be said of Willie. He was no barrier. He was a great encouragement and had a great testimony. Willie Buick also had a good name, following on from the good testimony, the bright testimony. And the Bible speaks of this. As Solomon said, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches," in Proverbs 22:1. And he said, "A good name is better than precious ointment," Ecclesiastes 7:1. And your name, your reputation, is everything. What you're known as. And Willie had that good name in his family. Over these past few days, I've heard testimony to that. I know Alan was stressing how much, because he was so closely connected with his dad in work. And all those years that he worked in the shed down below the house, there were no crosswords. Willie was a man that was gentle in his nature and an easy man to get on with. And also he had a good name with his neighbours. An upright and an honest man in his dealings. He was gracious in his character. And I know that many would be here in this service today because his life touched their lives. A good name honours the Lord. Willie Buick had a kind nature. And all the family can speak about that, from the children through to the grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. Alan was telling me this. He would have given anything away to help others. And the very simple illustration, Alan, was if there were two bars of chocolate, he would have given both of them. He wouldn't have kept. If somebody wanted the two, he would have given both. Well, he was the first to do a good turn. Think of the cars, even of ministers that he serviced, and still does that. And he used to service my car before I got some plan with the company that I'm with. A kind nature. Willie Buick had a word of encouragement. He loved God's people. He loved his family. He loved his pastor. And when I visited, I always came away blessed from his home. I cannot tell you all the things that he said, but I think everyone knows the kind of a man that he was and the kind of encouragement he was to us all. Willie Buick had a godly influence. I'm thinking especially of that influence right here in the home with his family. Fred has spoken about that upbringing between Willie and his wife Joan, the joy of seeing their children brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was in a great part down to the godly influence right there in the family. Willie Buick was a sociable creature. He had a sociable nature. He loved company. He valued friendship and fellowship. He had some special family members and friends that visited him faithfully. And they always enjoyed visiting Willie Buick. I know that, for I've spoken to them. There was one thing, however, that Willie Buick just didn't grasp, and that was social distancing in these days. Just maybe to mention that. These days have been very difficult for us all when we come to the rules of COVID-19. But I can remember just before Christmas, Susan and I called. We were going around some of the seniors in the church, and we called with a little gift from the congregation here. And I went into the shed to speak to Willie and to Alan. And as I was speaking, it was now I was talking to Alan, Willie says, "I'll just go out and talk to your wife." She was sitting in the car. So Alan and I, we chatted on, went out to the car, and there Willie was. He had jumped into the car beside her, talking away, no face masks like we have on today. And we visited again. We called at the house. I think it was to drop off some magazines from the church. And when he knew that Susan was in the car, he came out to greet her. But again, opened the door straight in. "How are you doing?" And a nice, warm, friendly handshake. When I visited the last couple of times in January and also last month, the 20th of February, I think it was, before leaving, we did embrace, despite the rules, we just hugged one another, and that was a precious moment. You know, it was said of Abel, the younger son of Adam and Eve, who lived by faith and offered his sacrifice by faith, "He being dead, yet speaketh." And we can say that today of Brother Willie Buick. You all have precious memories to hold in your minds and in your hearts. You have the comfort of the gospel to cling on to in the midst of your sorrow. And just for a few minutes, I want to consider the words of the Psalm 46 and verse 10. It seems to have providentially fallen in my way by God who orders all our steps. It was read when Willie was passing away. I ever read that verse with him. It was read over 24 years ago in hospital with Jim. In recent days, it has been one of the most quoted. And even as people have sent messages and cards, Psalm 46 seems to be very much in their mind. And if you could see my study wall, the little study I have over in the manse, there's a large frame on the wall, and it has two big words in the middle, and it is, "Be still." The psalm was written in the background of the storm, the earth being removed, and the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roaring, being troubled, the mountains shaking with the swelling thereof. And so it is the language of great disturbance, a picture of terrible convulsions, such as you would expect that an earthquake would bring of great magnitude, or in a hurricane of fierce winds, frightful disruption, an upheaval of the greatest kind. And this physical expression is used to describe the most severe perplexities of life and even eternity. The wonderful truth emphasized in this song magnifies the grace of God in such times of terrible commotion. And we all face such times. This family has been facing that for over a week now, and facing it today. And Willie himself faced great commotion since he took the stroke especially. And maybe even you today, as you find yourself here in the house of God, this is where you are. But God is teaching us that if we know him as our Lord and Savior, the guide and the director of our lives, the redeemer of our souls, then we have a confidence that this world cannot give us in the midst of the storm. Indeed, a confidence that cannot be experienced by those who are out of Christ without a Savior. Verses 1 and 10 and 11 must be viewed in this light. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. "Be still and know that I am God. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And I feel the text of verse 10 read at our dear brother as he was entering the valley of the shadow of death and passing through that brief darkness into the eternal light of the land that is fairer than day. It's most appropriate to consider just for a few minutes. Willie Buick knew Christ as his Savior. I want to stress that. Willie was saved by God's grace. He was born again of God's Spirit. He was in Christ. He was a true believer. And maybe you're asking the question, what does that all mean? And it simply means that there was a day in Willie's life when gospel truth dawned upon his soul. He came to that realization that before God he was a sinner. A sinner under the condemnation of Almighty God. But he came to realize that in Christ there was a perfect remedy for his sin. And how that Christ had come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And in simple faith, Willie laid hold upon Jesus Christ as his Redeemer. And that day, he was saved. That day, he was born of the Spirit. That day, he became a true member of the family of God. And I want you to think of how relevant, therefore, in the circumstances in which we meet, this text really is. Three simple things. First of all, be still in the storm of sickness. The sickness is a reality in this fallen world. With the entrance of sin into the world, there came sickness, disease, weakness, and death itself. These bodies of ours, though they are fearfully and wonderfully made, are prone to decay. Even true Christians are not exempt from bodily sickness. And we read in the scriptures of some of the most illustrious saints who succumbed to disease and illness of various kinds. The patriarch Job, King David, King Hezekiah, Lazarus in the New Testament, the friend of Christ. And we think of Epaphroditus, a friend of the great apostle Paul, and of course Paul himself. They were great preachers and heroes of the faith in church history, and they suffered in body and mind. Willie Buick enjoyed great health through his life, but in recent days especially, he had some sickness. Yes, the storm arose. A time of trouble came. The mountains were shaking, the waters were roaring, the earth convulsing, but in the midst of it there was a voice from heaven. Be still and know that I am God. I'm in control. I'm sovereign and supreme. I'm working out my purposes. So be still in the storm of sickness. Secondly, be still in the storm of sorrow. Death is a stark reality in this valley of tears. It's appointed unto men once to die. And all men without exception will face that day. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, wherefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The holiest and the highest saints of God have departed this life. Godliness, goodness, and greatness are no preventatives from death. All the patriarchs, all the prophets, all the apostles and preachers of Bible days have departed from this world. And likewise through the centuries, the great men of faith came to their final day. And Willie Buick arrived at that moment that was death's time for him, the day of his departure. The stroke came on Tuesday morning a week ago, but that was not the appointed day. This moment came 6 days later on Monday evening at 5:05. Indeed, it came as this very verse of Scripture was being read. I tell you, there was a stillness for Brother Willie when that moment came. And there was a stillness for Ivor as he sat at the bedside, a stillness for Jessica, who was not very far away, and a stillness in the midst of sorrow for the rest of the family members too. God was reminding them that in the great earthquake of death and departure from this life, there is for the child of God a stillness. Indeed, a stillness that can only be experienced by a true believer. And God is saying, I'm your refuge. I'm your strength. I'm your present help in trouble. It may seem that the earth was removed and is being removed this very day by human loss of such a beloved father, family member, and friend. But be still and know that I am God. There is a blessed confidence and assurance to experience when we enter the sorrows of life and our loved one who knows Jesus Christ as Savior is taken. We know where they've gone, where it's absent from the body, to be present immediately with the Lord. It is to ascend on high, to go to be with Christ, which is far better. We ask, why is there such a stillness? And that's because redemption is through the blood of the Savior. There's pardon and peace with God for the believer. There's reconciliation and salvation for those that know God. It's a wonderful confidence to know that when a true Christian dies, they die in the Lord. They die saved by grace. They die born of the Spirit and prepared to meet God. Their sins are forgiven through the work of Christ on the cross. It's the only way of forgiveness. We know that. And therefore, there is a stillness in the hour of death and sorrow. And then thirdly, be still in the storm of sovereign judgment. No, the judgment day. It'll come for us all. It's appointed unto men once to die. We quoted that. But there's another little part of the text, and it says, after this. There's always an after this. Death is not the end. After this, the judgment. God has declared it, speaks often about a judgment day in his word. We're told that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our dear Savior is coming again. He's coming to gather the nations of the world to the great judgment. The Bible says, and it's the words of Christ, before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them, the one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Come with me to the great white throne of judgment, outlined for us in Revelation 20. See there Christ sitting in dazzling splendor. And the books are opened. And another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, we are told, are judged out of those things that are written in the books. Listen carefully to what the Almighty says in his word that will happen on that day. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I tremble when I read such words. And I'm reminded again and again that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. However, for the dear child of the Lord, who has turned in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ and found mercy and forgiveness, pardon and peace in him, there is nothing, absolutely nothing to fear about this judgment, because he's hiding in Christ. Jesus Christ has paid the price in full. He's borne the eternal wrath of God on behalf of his people. And therefore we can say with confidence in those lines, payment God will not twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then at mine. No, Jesus, he has paid it all. The believer will pass through the judgment with great confidence and ease, for Jesus Christ has stood in his stead. And therefore I say to you all, to you, to those that are listening in, be still and know that I am God. In the storm of divine wrath poured eternally upon sinners who die unconverted, for the believer, for Willie Buick, there's a great peace and assurance. Willie Buick turned in faith to Jesus Christ many years ago. Thank God he had nothing to fear in sickness. He had nothing to fear in death. He had nothing to fear in the great eternity. Nothing to fear as far as the great judgment is concerned. Written across this day, amidst all our human sorrow, are the words, be still. May God be pleased to write that word upon every heart that's here, especially the family, for Jesus' sake. Amen. There is a second hymn chosen by the family to sing today. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. When labor's ended, that last verse, and the journey's done, thank God for the child of the Lord who knows Christ as Savior and Shepherd. He will lead me safely to my home. There I shall dwell in rapture sure and sweet with all the loved ones gathered round his feet. Let's think of the words as we sing them together. Almighty God and gracious Father, we give thanks for your presence today, for the stillness that is in our hearts, even as we listen to what the Lord is saying in his word, to be still and know that I am God, you're on the throne, you're exalted far above all, you're sovereign in all that you do, even in our home calling. And we thank thee again for the life and the witness of our brother Willie Buick, for the testimony that he had in his home and in his community. We thank thee that when people looked at him and they saw him and listened to him, they could see something of the blessed Saviour whom he loved and served. We thank thee that he's now in glory. The prayers of Christ have been answered, for Jesus prayed that his people would be where he is, and they have beheld his glory. One day we will follow by the grace of God. We pray for the comfort of the family, that you'll continue to be with them moment by moment, day by day, that the presence of Christ will be real, that underneath and round about the everlasting arms of God will be known. And Father, we pray for any who know not the Saviour, that this will be a challenging time, a calling time. May the Lord call them in grace to himself. May they prepare to meet God and realize that one day they too must pass the way of all flesh. We must die. We must enter eternity. We must face God. We will stand at the great judgment. And only those who are rightly related to Christ and his redemptive work will pass through the judgment with great ease and comfort. For Jesus paid it all, and he stood in our stead. Separate us now with the blessing of the triune God from your house today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.